Thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 Italian Grand Prix at Monza. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. And by being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so we are here for the 2024 Italian Grand Prix at Monza. Obviously, you know, after Monaco, this is like the most iconic track on the grid, one could argue. I guess Spa is probably up there, and there are a few others. But
I mean, for the fact that it hasn't changed that much over the years, for sure. Yeah, it's just a pure speed track, one of the lowest downforce tracks, fastest track. Yeah, everybody loves Monza.
Yeah, always has an amazing crowd. The Tifosi goes crazy at this track, and that was no exception this year. I mean, they're parked outside of Charles's hotel all weekend long. He could barely even get out of there.
How is that supposed to help him win if he's being constantly harassed and can't sleep?
Yeah.
But that's what we love about the Ferrari fans and the Tifosi and Formula One, for sure.
Yeah.
And Ferrari haven't given him that much to cheer about this year. So
no,
just that one win in Monaco.
But yeah, ever since then, it's kind of been a slow downhill tread as of late, but we will see going into this weekend. But obviously there was some bad news for the American driver on the grid, Logan Sargeant, no longer on the grid, being replaced by Franco Colapinto, who I guess was the reserve driver for Williams, but they have their lineup for next year already decided with Carlos and Albon. So just someone to fill the gap for a few more races.
But yeah, exactly. So, see what sort of experience he can get. An interesting move, right? Because you've got, like you said, you've got the driver lineup set for next year. So what does that mean for Colapinto? I don't know. But yeah, get some experience under his belt. Maybe he can do a little, like a Nick DeVries kind of situation, put in some good laps, get some good experience. That's not going to hurt him, right? So good luck to him. And I mean, Logan, a lovely guy. I know Nick was lucky enough to meet him when he went to the Japanese Grand Prix and explain what a great guy he was. And I'm sure he is, but
he just
couldn't get it done. Maybe let's see. Hopefully Carlos doesn't get tainted with this same issue between Latifi in that seat to Sargeant. They've not been able to get anything out of it.
No.
But Albon can't. So you got to think that if there's something there to be had, Sainz will be the guy that will get it. But good luck to Franco. Let's see what he can do for the rest of the season to see if he can take his chance.
Yeah, definitely. Good for him to get his name out there for a little bit. And then another young driver, I guess it has been confirmed now officially that Kimi Antonelli will be driving for Mercedes next season. Not really a huge shock, but he just turned 18 years old. It's got to be the youngest driver since Max, right?
I guess so. I don't know the stats, but yeah. It's hard. I can't. Kimi, I'm an old man, so Kimi to me means Raikkonen. So
yeah, right.
That's going to take me a little while to get over. But again, this season was the first time in a long time, right, that we didn't have any new drivers on the grid. So it's good to see some new faces, something to talk about. So yeah, good luck to him too.
Yeah,
he stacked it
exactly.
Within a couple of laps in George's car, I believe. So there were some quick memes of George's face, like, is that my car in the world?
Yes, it was. But then they posted that video together after the crash, announcing that Kimi will be the driver next year. So I guess all is forgiven.
All's forgiven. Yeah.
I guess let's get into qualifying a little bit. Oster did have an unsafe release during Q1, which I thought would get a penalty, but ultimately he did not. So I was thrilled about that. Franco almost had a huge crash in Q1. He was wiggling off the side of the road, but was able to keep it straight and no damage. So like you said, the curse of that seat almost immediately had effect, but he was able to not crash it. Let's see. The only guy that really, not that it's really that much of a struggle to comprehend this, but Lance was not able to get out of Q1. But I mean, Aston Martin has been looking much better the past few races. So definitely
a little bit of a surprise, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. We at least expect him to get out of the first session in qualifying, but disappointed for him. And then really no surprises in Q2. And then Lando taking his second straight pole position in a row. So very impressive for him, and Oscar locking out the front row.
Yeah, I mean, I love this new version of Formula One.
Me too.
It's just, well, whether it's McLaren or whomever, but yeah, it's competitive. We're not sure who's going to be at the front. There's Mercedes have options. You know, Red Bull's in the mix for sure. Even Sergio's picking up the pace a little bit, coming back into play. The McLarens obviously are the top dogs now.
Yes. But
there's, what, eight cars maybe that could win, or seven?
Yeah.
Depends if you include Sergio. In my mind, you know, between the McLarens, the Mercedes, the Ferraris, and the Red Bulls. So what a time to be alive. What a time to be a Formula One fan. It's back. You know,
yeah.
The maxed era of domination is over.
At least for now.
At least for now. I mean, fair play to everybody that improved their cars and closed the gap and have found that extra speed. And fair play to the drivers, too, because people are keeping it on the track. I haven't been able to join the pod for the last few races this summer, but not massive crashes, people racing fairly, giving each other space, and it's led to some really exciting races. So
it was the closest top six qualifying finish in the history of F1, with the top six drivers being separated by less than 0.2 seconds.
Wow.
So
I mean, I guess that's somewhat understandable, but based on the circuit, because I think it's like, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's like 80% of the circuit is full throttle.
Sure.
So, you know, if the cars are going flat out with not much downforce, there shouldn't be that much difference between them. But all to play for, clearly, in the race.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's see, I mean, obviously, George and Charles locked out the second row, and then Carlos and Lewis right behind them. So Max and Checo all the way back on the fourth row to start the race.
Yeah. I mean, only last year, Max starting from this, you'd be like, well, how long will it take him to get to first, right?
But right.
You don't even, not even a consideration right now.
No, I mean, I think he started in like P12 last year and won the race. So
yeah, he was winning from everywhere last year. It didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But of course, everybody wants to know Lando. He's got his own little streak going of sitting on pole, but not being able to stay there after one lap. So can he do it this time?
Yeah. Of course, I was hoping so. at least him or Oscar, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I guess really there wasn't much pre-race news, so to speak, other than Max had a short interview, like kind of walking up to the grid, where he said, you know, this could be quite difficult for us, which we haven't really heard him say, even though it's been apparent that they haven't been up to the same pace that they're used to. But you know, they weren't expecting to be moving up the grid like they were able to do last year. And then we heard that potentially there might be some rain coming. I think Oscar was really the first one to say on the broadcast that they saw a 40% chance of rain from their radars. And Rachel Brooks was like, well, that's news to us. But, you know, more intrigue going into the race and what could possibly happen.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
On to the start of the race. Lando probably has his best start from the front of the grid. He was able to move over and cover off Oscar and stay in P1 through turn one. Oscar was able to come back at him down the next straight and go side by side through those chicanes. And then Oscar was able to get ahead of Lando. They might have touched a little bit, but don't think it caused any damage, but I'm sure Lando was really not happy about that. And then Charles was able to get right by him.
I mean, Lando, you were watching it, and I'm sure your mind, you were thinking, come on, you can hold the lead. And after he got around the first corner in first place, you're like, okay, that check, done. Yep. With Piastri behind him. But no, Piastri had other ideas, and that was just a crazy move down the outside around the first part of the chicane. And basically, yeah, what happened is that I don't think they did touch, but Lando had to overcorrect so much to put so much left into the car to miss Piastri. The back of his car stepped out. He lost all momentum. Ultimately got no drive off that corner, which allowed Leclerc to go through, because before that, Russell sort of overcooked the first corner and had to go straight on. So he was in third, trying to get second, overcooked the first corner, had to go straight on, which meant weaving through a bunch of bollards, which put him back in, I don't know, fifth. And
he dropped
something.
Four places.
Yeah, so he was way back. But then, I mean, Lando, he must have been just like, what the hell was that? Like, you know, could have taken each other out. I mean, I don't know what the rules are. I can't imagine, you know, Perez doing such a move on Max or the Mercedes guys even been able to race that close, or even the Ferraris. So, you know, Zach Brown, he's got some balls on him. I don't know when they talk about how to race each other, but
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, very crazy. And of course, you know, with Max starting so far in the back, it's like, all right, this is a chance to get a big chunk of points. Have him.
It's making us, we didn't have to do any maths last year, but this year we've got to do maths and work out how many more points does Lando need to score to reel in Max, right? It's every place is important, but I guess Oscar is like, hey, if the gap is there, I'm going to take it. And McLaren are like, we're not necessarily favoring Lando.
Taking the center approach. If there's a gap, go for it.
If there's a gap, go for it. I mean, obviously, they also want the Constructors' Championship too, but you need your cars to finish to do that. And if they're fighting with each other, there's always a chance they could take each other out, which would be absolute disaster.
Yeah.
But hey, we love racing. So
absolutely. It was great to watch. It's tough to watch, but great to watch. That was it really for the first lap. We hear Checo complain that George has damage, and then you see a couple laps later the front end wing plate is hanging off. I think eventually it does fall off, but he's able to keep it going. It's not affecting it too much for the time being, but probably losing some downforce. Yeah. Without that on the front wing. And then Lando takes the fastest lap and is back to DRS range. of Charles, and will obviously want to pass him fairly quickly, but Oscar is pulling away. The McLaren, or any car really in free air, is just way better than having all that dirty air in front of them. And then let's see, Charles is able to reel Oscar back in again. Let's see, Lando is dropping away too. So it's really just Charles and Oscar up front pulling away a bit at this time. And then Nico locks up and crashes really badly into the side of Yuki and takes Yuki out of the race. And Nico is able to limp it along, but it was just bad. It was amateur.
It was. That was video game style, where you sort of use the other car as a yeah. bumper or a brake. It was out of control. Yeah.
And he ultimately got a 10-second penalty for that. So going straight to 10-second penalty, and not that that he really had a good shot of points anyway, but you know, that's already ultimately ruling him out because he had just come in for a pit to fix his front wing after crashing into Yuki. So really bad for Nico. Yuki, like I said, retires from the race on the next lap. And then Oscar is around a second ahead of Charles now, so he's able to get close to out of DRS range and really start to pull away, which he's able to do within a few laps. And as soon as he's out of DRS range, he's pulling away fairly quickly. And then I guess George is the first of the top 10 to pit. And they also end up changing his front wing. So that's going to be a slow stop. And he comes back out in P16. Lando is starting. So we've seen this a bunch from the McLarens, where towards the end of stints, they've been like holding on to their tires in the beginning, and they're able to get some more pace towards the end of the stint, which we don't really see from a lot of teams. They're able to do that really well.
That seems to be what Red Bull used to do, right? That they would take better care of their tires, and now that seems to be the hallmark of McLaren. So yeah, they can just, you know, go longer, get more out of the tire, and don't blow it up, and can get better pace towards the end of a stint. So he needs to close up. I mean, that's what Lando needs to do.
Yep. And then right as Lando was getting really close to passing Charles, they end up just coming into the pit lane. So finally, they're the first ones to pit and not having to pass the driver again, which seems to be always the case with McLaren. But Lando locks up coming into the pit lane and hits a bollard. But I guess I didn't get it. There was no penalty for that. I guess he slowed it down enough by the line that he didn't get speeding in the pit lane.
Yeah, I don't know if that bollard was like on the line or before the line, or, but yeah, he was completely out of control. And, well, not completely out of control, but it wasn't pretty.
It wasn't good.
not what you like to see. So I don't know if we're going to read too much into that and say, you know, Lando, a little bit of frustration, a little bit of lack of concentration, but you got to hold it together, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on.
And let's see, Oscar's in free air now, and he's pulling away over 3 seconds ahead now. Charles does respond, but the undercut works for Lando, and he is able to get ahead of Charles, and will try and catch Oscar, but Oscar ultimately responds as well, and he is able to stay ahead of both Charles and Lando fairly easily. But he's got Albon in front of him, who has not pit yet, so we'll have to deal with that. Charles is very disappointed that they brought him into pit so early, even though he was responding to Lando. Obviously, he thought the one stop was still a possibility at this point when nobody else did.
Yeah, he thought, yeah, he should have. So that was a bit strange. He ended up being undercut, but he thought if he stayed out, he could have got more out of the mediums, maybe, because obviously most people went from medium to hard. Only the Red Bulls started on the hard tire, I think, in the top 10 anyway.
Yeah.
But I didn't dislike the call. I thought, you know, everybody's in the mix. The DRS didn't look like it had a huge amount of power, but if you could get the tires working, you'd be okay. But I mean, I guess in Leclerc's mind, the last few races, they haven't really been in it that much, not to fight with the McLarens anyway. So the idea that he could then go out there and reel them in, maybe he thought he had a better chance if they had him, if they had kept them behind him. But
yeah. Definitely. And then Danny came into pit, and I don't know where he had a 5 second penalty coming into pit. I don't know what he got that 5 second penalty for, but one of his mechanics just briefly touched the car before, right as he came in. So that negated the chance to pit there, but they waited the 5 seconds, and then he got another 10 second penalty because his mechanic touched the car.
I mean, you know, a learning opportunity. Is that what we call these things?
I guess. That's the nicest way of putting it. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many times you have to learn these things, but that pit crew guy is not happy tonight. But
no.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you just, I guess nobody noticed that he touched the car. But if you notice, if anybody noticed he touched the car, you just start doing the pit stop then, because there's no point in waiting 5 seconds at that point.
Yeah. I mean, how do you coordinate that? Like, how do you get the message out?
Just they probably
all said to each other, okay, 5 seconds, 5 seconds. Like, don't, and then, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, really bad from that one mechanic. I'm sure he's kicking himself for sure. And then let's see. Carlos, from the lead of the race at this point, comes in for his first stop. Let's see. The Red Bulls are still out there because they started on hard tires. So the McLarens, who are the only ones behind that or right behind them, are trying to catch them. George is already back up into P9. Pretty impressively. He dropped down to, I think, P16 is what I said. So
yeah,
all things considered, yeah, with the damage and what went on at the beginning of the race, pretty good, but obviously disappointing from starting P3 or P4 or wherever he was. Let's see. And then Max comes in on the 23rd lap from the hard tires, but they come out on another set of hard tires. So they're going to be forced to pit again. And then Checo does the same thing on the next lap.
Yeah.
Cementing a two-stop strategy for them. So then lap 26, George is able to get by Ocon, who has not pit yet. So he's now up into P8. And Oscar is pumping in fastest lap after fastest lap. He's got a 2 second lead over Lando now. And I think it was Martin Brundle who kind of hinted that maybe they would pit Lando first so that he could undercut Oscar on track for the points to stay ahead of Max, but, didn't end up working out that way.
Yeah.
I mean, would have been interesting. Oscar probably would have been upset about that if they had ultimately decided to do that. But they did not.
No.
And then, let's see, Oscar is still taking fastest laps. He's now 3 seconds ahead of Lando. And Lando says over the radio that he's worried about graining. And Charles is getting closer. And then Lando made some sort of mistake. And all of a sudden, Oscar is 5 seconds ahead of him, and Charles is in DRS range and right behind him.
Yeah, so he had a little bit of a wobble. I forget which turn it was. It was a left-hander chicane, and he just ended up.
Yeah, turn ended four, up maybe.
He ended up having to go straight on and go the long. And there's a bollard like way out to the right that you have to drive around. So yeah, it just threw away 4 seconds or something. And yeah, it went from can Norris reel in Piastri to, oh crap, can Norris keep Leclerc behind him?
Yeah. So then a totally different situation for him. And then Lando ultimately comes in 2 laps later for his second stop, has a kind of slow stop, almost 3.5 seconds, and comes out in between the Red Bulls, in which you hear Max say on the radio, so am I fighting Lando here? Which, you know, makes I get sick to my stomach when I heard that radio message. I'm just like, no, he's going to crash into him on purpose. So neither of them get any points. Like Schumacher all over again.
I mean, what was the thought there, though? So Norris is saying that, you know, he's in second place behind Piastri. He's complaining that his tires are going off. So they're thinking everybody's going to have to do a second stop. You know, that, you know, Leclerc stopped so early along with them. Everybody's going to have to stop again. So this is our best chance. They never thought that, you know, somebody would stay out. I mean, pretty much everybody ended up doing two stops, I think.
Yeah.
No, not really. Well, I mean,
from the guys were in the front, it was really only the Ferraris that were considering it. Obviously, yeah. The Red Bulls were not.
Yeah. They made that call early, obviously, then it was obvious. But it just wasn't that obvious to me that the tires would be that much faster. That you could sort of reel them in a second a lap or something, but
yeah. And then George comes in to try and undercut Checo, but he also has a slow stop. There were a lot of slow stops during this race. I guess it was really hot there this weekend. At least that's what people were saying, and that always seems to jam up the works on pit stops for whatever reason. Very weird. And let's see, Oscar and the Ferraris are staying out, but Checo comes in for his second stop on lap 36. Let's see. And then Lewis ultimately comes in for his second stop on lap 38 to put pressure on the Ferraris and the Red Bulls to maybe come in for their stops, although I guess the Red Bulls already had. Let's see, George super late breaking into turn one is finally able to get by Checo. But Checo around the outside of the wide turn, but George is able to be on the inside for the turn four chicane and is able to ultimately take the spot, but a little bit of back and forth between George and Checo.
Yeah. It was some good racing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then Oscar comes into pit from the lead of the race for his second stop, and he also has a slightly slower stop. But he's only behind the two Ferraris who, you know, at this point we were thinking maybe we're just waiting for them to come in for their second stops, especially Charles, because he had pit, I think, either the same lap as Lando or the lap in between Oscar and Lando.
So, I mean, so now we can like Monday morning quarterback it a little bit, right? So there's an assumption there, right, that the Ferraris are going to come in. But the mathematics of it, I mean, they must have looked at it that like he came in on, what, lap 38. So there was still 15 laps to go. However many seconds he would be behind, how many seconds a lap is he going to be quicker, you know, add it all up. But wouldn't the smarter thing to have done just to, you were ahead of the Ferraris already, just stay out and just react to whatever they do?
Like, yeah.
You can always come in one lap later. I mean, you can do a one lap undercut. We saw that obviously between Norris and Leclerc. Like, Norris was able to overtake Leclerc just with one extra lap on fresh tires. But knowing what you know now, Was it the genius of Ferrari to stay out, or was it the mistake by McLaren to come in, or maybe were Ferraris in some ways inept and like our hands been forced, like this is our only chance to win, like if we come in as well we're not reeling them in, so yeah, we might as well stay out and try and keep them behind us. So
I think it's more the latter.
Yeah. Interesting call. Like I see why Norris came in, because he was trying to win the race.
Yeah.
But Piastri was in the lead with one lap fresher tires than Leclerc.
Yep.
And supposedly in a car that can treat its tires better.
I guess depending on how close they are, if they stay out and then the Ferraris end up do pitting, then Oscar could get undercut and they'd have to pass him regardless.
Yeah, but you could literally bring him in the next lap. So yeah. I don't know. It's I don't know. It's, they must have just assumed that Ferrari's going to come in too. Yeah. That must have been the assumption.
Yeah. And then Lando on lap 40 was trying to get by Max into turn one, but Max defending aggressively yet again and making me nervous and has to hold him off for a whole nother lap. He tries on that next DRS straight, but isn't able to do it. But by the time they get around again into turn, he's already passed him by the time they get to turn one. And he is back into P4 and trying to, along with his teammate, catch up to the Ferraris again.
Yeah.
And Max ends up pitting on the next lap, probably very upset and realizing that, you know, he's losing a bunch of points to Lando during this race. Oscar is able to pass Carlos fairly easily and has 11 seconds to make up to pass Charles in 8 laps, which isn't impossible.
No, but it was very challenging, right? Because he wasn't even a lap quicker. Right. So it was looking improbable even at that point. But
he was starting to make up some time fairly quickly, but then he had some back markers that he had to get by, and then he slowed down and didn't really have a shot after that. I mean, we saw Lando had a look at Carlos into turn one, but doesn't end up making the lunge, but holds off until the next lap and is able to also pass Carlos and back up into a podium position.
I mean, maybe the other thing I can add is that maybe there was an expectation that the hard tire performance would like drop off a cliff for the Ferraris at a certain point, and that it would, you know, go from just under a second and it'd start clawing back 1 or 2 seconds a lap more easily. But it just didn't happen. I think Leclerc was still lapping within a second or less of his fastest lap time right at the end of the race.
Yeah.
He was able to look after those tires. So absolutely superb drive from Leclerc to be that consistent, like no mistakes. You know, obviously, you know, Norris put a foot wrong, you know, when he lost the spot to to Piastri at the beginning and then went off the track in the middle of the race. But Charles, almost faultless.
Yeah, absolutely. And the second win of his season, the second win at Monza, turning out to be probably a much better season than he was expecting, or really anyone was expecting other than Max after the first 7 races or so.
Sure. I mean, yeah, to win his home race in Monaco and then to win Ferrari's home race in Monza. If you're going to win only 2 races,
right,
if you're from Monaco and you drive for Ferrari, I think those are the 2 that you would put straight to the top. So
absolutely.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I mean, other winners on the day, even though McLaren will be really disappointed that they didn't win, they still made up really good points on Red Bull in the championship. And Lando is still making up points on Max in the constructor or in the drivers' championship. Not as much as he would have liked if he had, you know, won the race or come in second place, but still making up points.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think given some time, I think Oscar will be okay with his second place finish. I think Norris is the biggest loser of the winners.
Yeah.
In that, what could have been, you're on pole and, you know, through, you know, maybe an unexpected but aggressive move by your teammate, you lost the lead of the race, and then you did make a couple of silly little mistakes in the middle of the race that you got away with but cost you points. You still stood on the podium but cost you potentially the win. So he's got to try and deal with that now and move forward. He's still the only person with any sort of chance of catching Max. I don't think Piastri can, or Leclerc. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, you got to put Alex as a winner on the day. I think he ended up in P9. So really great points for Williams. And even Franco, you got to give it to him. I mean, I think he started P16 and he ended P12 in his first race weekend. So, I mean, that's way better than anything Logan could have hoped for.
Better than sort of Logan was producing. Absolutely. And fair play to him. You know, he didn't cause an accident. he got the car around. He got some performance out of it.
Yeah.
I think I saw a stat. Is this the seventh race in a row where there hasn't been a safety car?
I think that's correct, which is crazy.
Kind of crazy because you're always expecting one here, there, or everywhere. But no safety cars. Barely even a yellow flag, right?
Yeah.
No. The only retirement was Tsunoda, but he drove it into the pits.
Yep. There might have been one with Kevin at one point.
You mean bumper cars? But, you know, no car stopped on track, did it? All cars kept moving at all times. So
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I did also notice that Stroll came in on lap 50 and put on soft tires.
Oh, did he?
I can only assume he was trying to get the fastest lap. I don't know. Lando ended up taking the fastest lap once again with the very last lap of the race.
I know. So amazing. I don't know how he's able to do that.
On sort of the oldest hard tires out there, pretty much, except for the Ferraris. Obviously, no fuel in the car, which helps massively. But
sure.
I don't know what Stroll's lap time was for those couple of laps that he did on soft tires, but I was interested to see that. He's the only person that ran any soft tires during the whole race, just for those last two laps.
Well, it didn't help him get the fastest lap, so that's disappointing for him. Mm-hmm. And obviously Aston are a loser on the weekend for how they've been doing recently and how it ended up today. It's just not good.
They've become a bit of also-rans. Do we say that, Verstappen is sort of just surviving, just hanging on, maybe not a winner, maybe not a loser. Perez is in the mix, though. For him, improving slightly.
Yeah, I mean, for the team, it's a losing effort because they lost ground in the Constructors' Championship. But
I mean, right now, if you're a betting man, McLaren are odds-on favorites. Take the Constructors, right? They're only 10 points behind, I think, in the Constructors, something like that.
Amazing.
And K-Mag picked up two penalty points on his license for the position collision with Pierre. So unless he appeals, that gives him 12, which is an automatic race ban. So he's out for the next race.
Oh, man.
So could we see Behrman come back in?
That would be crazy.
He drove for Ferrari already this year and finished in the points. I think he's the test driver for Haas, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So he would be odds on to come back in. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And then I guess what happened in Coupes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So let me see. I don't have that up here, actually. I'm unprepared.
Yeah, let's see.
So, yeah, Coupes, we had, lowish scores again. I think people are still coming to grips with the new normal, you know.
Right.
It's not just Verstappen won. That gets you 40 points and moving on. So,
yeah.
Points are a little harder to come by in Coupes F1 now as well. But top score from Ludici23. 273 points, and then Alexito and Mauricio Pena with 250 points this week. And then in the overall standings, R. Heatley holds on to the top spot, and the other two in second and third switch places.
Yeah.
And our very own prancing to first, Holden Station in fourth. So still all to play for, but
yeah.
I mean, R. Heatley's got a decent lead, 150 points. So
yeah, he's pulling away.
You're gonna have he or she is pulling away. So you're gonna have to. They're pulling away. So you have to reel them in. You've made just amazing gains, though, Jason. over the summer.
Making some time up.
you're basically right behind Nick, 64th, 65th.
Yep.
I'm just stuck in the low hundreds, not going anywhere, not doing anything.
Well, you made up a couple spots.
Made up a couple of spots, but yeah, nothing's happening there. But yeah, and then what's next? What's next on the list? It's Azerbaijan in 2 weeks, Baku on the shores of the what's my geography? Caspian Sea?
Sounds good to me.
Street circuit, right?
Yeah.
Some very tight corners. Supposedly, you know, Perez was supposed to be the street maestro.
Expert.
But we'll see. But is it, what's the deal with it? It's got a lot of sort of 90 degree corners, some very tight sections.
Yeah. And so long, and a long straight.
Yes. Very, very wide, very long straight as well. So maybe we'll see some overtaking. And then after that, Singapore, only a week later, where the Red Bulls have had a nightmare the last few years. So there's some points on the table for the McLarens to pick up, and Lando specifically. So he shouldn't get too downtrodden.
We could still see a fight for the rest of the season.
It's going to come thick and fast. I can't believe we're this far through the season already. But that's the last race in Europe. Unless you count Azerbaijan's definitely Asia in my mind. Because you have Singapore, US, Mexico, Brazil, Vegas, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi. So
yeah, we're in the home stretch.
Yeah, it's and exciting. Max will probably put it away, unfortunately, with a few races to go. But whilst there's a possibility, I'm still a believer.
Me too. It's not over till it's over.
Not until the calculator says it's impossible.
Exactly. And crazier comebacks have happened before.
Oh, well, yeah, everything. I mean, one DNF flips everything. One DNF from Max.
Yeah.
Flips everything on its head. I think the math says that Lando needs 7 more points than Max each race. And what do they hand out? 25 for a win, 18 for second. So
that's all we need. We need like Joe to crash into Max in the beginning of the next race.
I don't think they ever see each other on track, do they?
Joe only sees him through the rearview mirror when he's pulling over.
And don't forget, there's some sprint races. Do we have some other sprint races?
That's right. I think. COTA, Circuit of the Americas, race.
And Brazil?
Brazil.
So that's extra points there, too. So
yeah.
There's points out there.
Yes. All right. There's still hope.
You feeling better now?
Yes. I was very upset after the race. You know, like we had such a good chance to make up so many more points, but...
I mean, if you were Zach Brown, would you be telling them not to fight each other? That Oscar, you should have stayed behind Lando.
Probably not.
Wow, I would have done 100%. I would have said, I would say, do not fight. Like Lando's our best. Like we want you both in the points, and Lando's the best shot to win. But you know,
I would have told Oscar to let him by when they realized they couldn't. Past Charles, I would have told Lando to let him by there.
Ooh, at the end.
Yeah.
Switching second and third.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough, though. You're manufacturing it then. Not a good look.
But, that's what they did for Oscar, didn't they?
No.
It was for the lead of the race. And they were way farther ahead. But
it's happened plenty of times before, and it will happen again. But that's a good call, too. And it wouldn't have changed the points for the team, right?
No, it would have been the same. Lando would have gotten 3 more points. I guess not a huge amount, but...
It's fine margins. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right, we'll see.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Italian Grand Prix at Monza. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.